Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're your shortcut to, well, getting truly informed, cutting through all the noise to get straight to the insights that actually matter. And today we're plunging into a topic of, frankly, immense national importance. It's about that relentless, ever-escalating battle against cyber threats, particularly for those entities, those agencies, tasked with safeguarding our nation's most sensitive data. Yes, we're talking about U.S. federal civilian agencies. And for this deep dive, the title, well, it couldn't be more direct. Why U.S. federal civilian agencies need to adopt Rapid7 to secure and accelerate speed to mission. So our mission today for you, our listener, is to really pull apart a comprehensive analysis we've been studying. We're going to detail the critical need for these agencies to adopt Rapid7. But we're going deeper than just that. We'll explore which specific agencies, which components within them, which programs, groups, initiatives, even the specific use cases and job titles, and the individual personas, really, within these huge organizations that the Rapid7 sales team should be prioritizing. And crucially, we're going to lay out the why. Why them?
Because this isn't just about, you know, understanding a product catalog. It's about grasping a fundamental, maybe even generational shift happening right now in federal cybersecurity. Mm. It's a shift driven by some really urgent mandates, a landscape of frankly, terrifyingly escalating threats, and a profound realization that, well, the old ways just aren't going to cut it anymore.
Yeah, it's an incredibly high stakes environment. What the analysis we looked at really highlights is the sheer scale of the pressure these federal agencies are under right now. It's intense. They're navigating what you could only really describe as a perfect storm. You've got increasingly sophisticated nation-state adversaries constantly probing their defenses. Then there's this severe and, it seems, persistent cybersecurity talent shortage that leaves critical gaps in their defenses. And on top of all that, the ever-growing complexity of their IT environments. It's a real hybrid mess, often entrenched legacy systems sitting right alongside sprawling, cutting-edge multi-cloud setups.
That's a potent mix. And the analysis we explored, it calls this a non-negotiable imperative for modernization. But what's the real transformation here? Is it just about buying new tech or is it something deeper?
I think the core insight, and maybe the most surprising thing for people not deep in federal IT, is how federal cybersecurity is moving away from being seen just as a cost center, you know, often reactive, just ticking compliance boxes. Now it's becoming a strategic enabler of the agency's mission itself. It's no longer just a question of if we get breached, but more like when, and crucially, how quickly can we detect it, respond, and bounce back? That's a really profound mental and operational shift for many of these organizations. It's about building resilience, always, rather than just trying, maybe futilely, to prevent every single attack.
Okay, let's peel back the layers on this a bit. The report makes it super clear. We're not just seeing minor tweaks in federal cybersecurity. This is fundamental, policy-driven, almost a complete paradigm shift, as you said. But how did we get here? What were the catalysts for such a big change?
Yeah, that's the crux of it, isn't it? What's fascinating, and what the analysis really zeroes in on, is how these high-profile incidents think SolarWinds. That infamous supply chain compromise, they didn't just expose vulnerabilities, they revealed systemic weaknesses, things deeply embedded in the government's whole defense posture. These weren't just isolated events, they were massive wake-up calls. And they directly led to sweeping top-down reforms. This wasn't some theoretical policy exercise, it was a direct, urgent reaction to very real, very damaging impacts. A clear signal that the old good enough approach, definitely not good enough anymore.
And that urgent reaction seems to have largely coalesced into one key document, Executive Order 42028, Improving the Nation's Cybersecurity, issued back on May 12, 2021. This isn't just a suggestion, right? It sounds like the blueprint.
Oh, it's absolutely monumental. EO 42028 represents probably the most substantial overhaul of federal cybersecurity policy in, well, over a decade. It essentially throws out the old perimeter-based security model, that whole castle and moat idea where anything or anyone already inside the network was kind of implicitly trusted. That era is officially over. Done.
So this blueprint for a new security posture, what's the most radical change from how agencies used to think about security? Is it really a total philosophical overhaul?
It absolutely is. And the first core tenet, this concept of zero trust architecture or ZTA, that's right at the heart of it. It just discards that old castle and moat thinking. Think of it like a super secure building. Every single door, every single room requires you to re-verify your credentials, even if you are already let into the main lobby. Zero trust works on that principle. Never trust, always verify. It fundamentally assumes a breach isn't just possible, but maybe likely, or hey, maybe it's already happened and we don't know it yet. So agencies have to continuously verify users, devices, applications, even data flows, no matter where they are on the network or in the cloud. This means things like multi-factor authentication everywhere, micro-segmentation to limit blast radius, comprehensive visibility, dynamic access policies that adapt in real time. And this is where a platform like Rapid7, with its focus on continuous verification and monitoring, really aligns. It helps build that security into every single interaction, every access request.
Got it. Okay, the second core tenet then, it hits on something that really burst into the spotlight with SolarWinds. Enhancing software supply chain security.
Yeah.
That potential for catastrophic damage, it became terrifyingly real. It's not just your code anymore.
Precisely. Yeah. EO14028 puts this unprecedented emphasis on the security of all the software the federal government buys and uses. It specifically directs NIST, that's the National Institute of Standards and Technology, to develop detailed guidelines, best practices for secure software development. These guidelines aim to make sure software producers have better visibility into their own components, often through things like a software bill of materials and SBM, and they need to be able to attest, basically swear, that they're following secure development practices. This forces agencies to scrutinize their entire technology ecosystem way beyond their own code. And that creates a really clear need for tools that can assess application security and manage vulnerabilities, even in third-party code. It's a huge lift, but, well, necessary.
And the third core tenet, it just acknowledges a hard truth, doesn't it? Prevention alone, it's just not enough. We have to get better at threat detection and response. Shifting focus from just walls to really effective alarm systems and rapid response teams.
That's a critical distinction, absolutely. The EO mandates significant improvements in the government's ability to actually detect and respond to malicious cyber activity. A key piece here is the call for a government-wide endpoint detection and response system, EDR. This is a fundamental shift away from passive signature-based antivirus, you know, the old stuff. Now it's towards active threat hunting, looking at behavior, and having rapid incident response capabilities right there on the endpoint itself. The order also tries to remove barriers to sharing threat information between IT service providers and the government, making sure agencies like CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, have the visibility they need to spot and coordinate responses to those big cross-agency campaigns. It's about presenting a united front.
Okay, so if EO14828 gives us the big picture strategy, then OMB Memorandum M2131 from August 2021, that gives us the tactical how. This is where it gets really specific for agencies trying to actually implement this stuff, right?
Exactly. M2131 is basically a highly prescriptive logging mandate. It comes from this understanding that, look, without adequate log data, effective incident detection, investigation, remediation, it's just impossible. You're flying blind. The memo sets up a formal maturity model, four tiers, EL0 up to EL3, and it specifies the exact types of log events agencies must capture and retain at each level. We're talking really granular stuff here, covering everything from identity and access logs, OS processes, DNS queries, comprehensive cloud activity. It's a massive data collection undertaking for many agencies.
And the challenge I gather is that many agencies are really struggling to meet even the lowest level, EL1, with their current, often quite old systems. It's a significant technical hurdle. Collecting logs sounds simple, but in government, maybe not so much.
Oh, it's truly a nightmare for many. The memo also stresses prioritizing high-value assets, HVAs. CISA's guidance acknowledges, look, agencies can't boil the ocean. They can't secure everything perfectly all at once. So they're explicitly told to make risk-informed decisions. Prioritize implementation efforts on their most critical systems first. That means their HVAs, their high-impact systems, foundational stuff like identity providers, think Azure AD, and anything internet-facing. This gives agencies a clear roadmap for where to focus their initial efforts, their budgets. It creates a very defined target for security solutions. The path to compliance really starts with those crown jewels.
And this leads directly to what the report calls the data access imperative. It's not just collecting the logs, but being able to share them with CISA or the FBI if something bad happens. That sounds like a huge cultural and technical shift for some agencies.
It is a huge ask, but it's a crucial part of M2131. It requires agencies be able to provide CISA and the FBI access to their log data during an incident. The memo explicitly states agency CIOs are responsible for setting up accounts for investigators, giving them access by the same means as agency employees. This creates a powerful push towards adopting centralized, searchable, easily accessible log management platforms. Agencies just can't rely on scattered, siloed log files anymore. They need a unified system that supports rapid, enterprise-wide investigations, both internal and external.
And we should probably quickly mention other directives, like CISA's binding operational directive, BOD 2201, that's the one about fixing known exploited vulnerabilities super fast, and BOD 2301 on asset visibility. So more examples of the constant, intense pressure these agencies are under. It really is a continuous battle.
Yeah.
Now, all these mandates, they're hitting federal agencies at a time when they're already facing this perfect storm you mentioned. Threats, gaps, sheer complexity, it's coming from all sides.
It absolutely is. Federal agencies are, without a doubt, high-value targets. They're just relentlessly pursued by sophisticated nation-state actors, advanced persistent threats, APTs. These groups want to conduct espionage, disrupt critical services, maybe even sabotage national infrastructure. The People's Republic of China, for instance, the report explicitly calls them out as the most active and persistent cyber threat to U.S. government networks. These adversaries have immense resources, incredible patience. It makes advanced detection and response, not just prevention, absolutely critical for survival. And the numbers we saw in the analysis, they really back this up. In FY23 alone, federal agencies reported over 32,000 cybersecurity incidents. That's almost a 10% jump year over year. It just underscores the rising volume, the sophistication. The reality is, if you're a federal agency, you are on somebody's target list, period.
And it's not just the external threat, is it? Internally, there's that severe, persistent problem, the cybersecurity skills gap. It seems like everyone struggles with talent, but for federal agencies, it must be particularly painful.
It's a critical issue, yeah. The report flags it as a persistent Achilles heel. The federal government faces this acute shortage of qualified cybersecurity talent. This deficit makes it incredibly difficult for agencies to properly staff and maintain a 247 Security Operations Center, a SOC, that's capable of defending against these persistent, well-funded attackers. Imagine trying to guard a fortress when half your watchmen are missing. This creates a really strong market demand for solutions that can automate security tasks, augment the existing teams with AI and analytics, and crucially provide managed services to fill those critical gaps when you just can't find the people.
Then you throw in the sheer hybrid complexity and the visibility gaps in modern federal IT.
Yeah.
It sounds like, I don't know, a house built on different foundations, rooms added haphazardly over decades, and nobody has the complete blueprint.
That's a really good analogy. It's a monumental challenge. The modern federal IT landscape is just this dizzying mix. You've got legacy on-prem systems, sometimes decades old, right alongside cutting-edge multi-cloud setups like AWS GovCloud, Azure Government. And in many critical sectors, you add operational technology, OT, industrial control systems, ICS into that mix. This huge variety creates a sprawling, fragmented attack surface. And it's full of dangerous visibility gaps that adversaries are brilliant at exploiting. They move laterally, almost seamlessly sometimes, between cloud and on-prem. For the agency security teams, just getting unified visibility, consistent policy enforcement across that complex landscape, it's almost impossible with traditional siloed tools. It makes a consolidated unified security platform look extremely ineffective.
So all these challenges are piling up, creating this perfect storm. What does this ultimately mean for how agencies make decisions right now, especially about budgets? Is there a silver lining for cyber investment?
Yeah, the report highlights a fascinating, maybe slightly counterintuitive outcome. It's actually created a powerful, compliance-driven budget catalyst. Agencies are under direct executive pressure from the White House, from OMB, to meet these aggressive deadlines in EO 123-28 and M2131. And CISA and OMB aren't just issuing directives. They're actively tracking progress through maturity models, performance metrics. Make no mistake, agency CIOs and CISOs are being held directly accountable for getting this done. This accountability ensures that funding for solutions that directly address these mandates. That funding will be prioritized in the FY25 and FY26 budget cycles. It creates a predictable, actionable market opportunity for vendors who can solve these specific mandated pain points.
That's a critical distinction. It's not just general IT money. It's mandate-specific funding getting prioritized.
Exactly. And furthermore, while these mandates cover diverse technical areas, logging, EDR, cloud security, supply chain, they all ultimately serve that broader strategic government goal of achieving zero trust architecture. This lets vendors position their offerings not just as a collection of point products, but as a unified platform for achieving zero trust, which is a much more strategic, much more compelling story for those C-level federal executives who need to show progress against these big overarching directives. It simplifies a very complex problem into a strategic solution.
Okay, so in the face of all these mandates, this modernization imperative, the analysis we're looking at really points to Rapid7's InsightGov Cloud platform, not just as a set of tools, but as this comprehensive integrated solution. engineered specifically, it seems, for these federal challenges.
Yeah, what really sets this platform apart, its design, its features, and maybe most importantly, its federal accreditation, is how it clearly positions Rapid7 as a top-tier partner for these agencies. It helps them not just meet compliance, which is table stakes now, but to genuinely boost their security posture and keep their essential work going, even with all these intense threats swirling around them.
So if trust is absolutely paramount in the federal space, what's the single most important foundational element that builds that trust for a platform like InsightGovCloud?
Oh, hands down, it has to be its FedRAMP authorization. It's truly the critical security standard for any cloud service used by the U.S. government. Achieving FedRAMP authorization, it's an incredibly rigorous, expensive, time-consuming process. It validates a cloud service's security posture against a standardized baseline of controls derived from NIST standards. It's a massive investment for any vendor to undertake.
And Rapid7's InsightGov Cloud platform, it has achieved FedRAMP authorization at the moderate impact level. That sounds pretty significant.
It genuinely is. The certification is essentially a non-negotiable prerequisite if you want to sell cloud-based solutions to federal agencies. Full stop. It effectively unlocks that $9+ billion federal cybersecurity market. It allows government procurement folks to acquire and deploy Rapid7's cloud solutions across their agencies without needing months, sometimes even years, of additional security reviews. This authorization covers a suite of their core products: InsightVM for vulnerability management, InsightCloudSec for cloud security, InsightConnect for automation, all delivered via this trusted, government-approved platform. It significantly speeds up what's called the authority to operate, or ATO, timeline for agencies. Less paperwork, less risk review. It just instills confidence that Rapid7 meets those NIST 853 controls and other federal requirements right out of the box.
So it's really more than just compliance. It's a serious competitive advantage, a barrier to entry even.
Absolutely. FedRAMP authorization is a formidable competitive edge and a significant barrier for other vendors. It immediately puts Rapid7 on the shortlist for almost any federal cloud security need, and it disqualifies a whole range of commercial competitors who just haven't made that substantial investment. For the agencies themselves, buying a FedRAMP authorized solution streamlines their whole acquisition process, it reduces their risk, and it provides that essential assurance that the platform has been thoroughly vetted for government use, this foundation of trust. It's absolutely paramount in the federal market, where risk aversion is understandably deeply ingrained.
So what does this all mean for the agencies themselves? It sounds like Rapid7 isn't just a collection of tools, but an integrated platform really designed to tackle those core operational challenges that have plagued federal IT for so long.
Precisely. The real power lies in how directly it aligns with EO 140.0.8 and M2131. The report really emphasizes this point. The most effective strategy, it suggests, for Rapid7 is to leverage that urgent need for M2131 compliance as the entry point. Use it to land the platform's foundational infrastructure. Those M2131 logging requirements are so specific, so hard to meet with older tools, they create this immediate, acute need for something like InsightIDR. So by leading with InsightIDR to solve that specific pain point, the sales team establishes a critical foothold. Then, once that universal Insight agent and the data collectors are deployed for InsightIDR, expanding to other platform solutions like InsightVM or InsightCloudSec becomes a much simpler, lower friction upsell. The core infrastructure is already there. It's a really smart, strategic way to get in the door.
And a foundational differentiator you mentioned is Rapid7's unified data architecture based on this collect data once principle. What's the actual impact of that for an agency?
This is key, yeah. And it's a potential game changer for federal environments. The platform uses a shared set of collectors and this universal Insight agent for data collection across the entire IT environment, cloud, on-prem, endpoints, everything. Now, that might sound like a technical detail, but the impact is huge. It enables security teams, IT ops teams, even DevOps teams to collaborate effectively using the same shared data. It finally starts to break down those persistent data silos and tool silos that just cripple so many federal security programs. This shared context creates this emergent value that standalone products just can't deliver. So, for example, InsightVM might identify a critical vulnerability on a server. InsightIDR can then detect a specific exploit attempt against that exact same server using data from the same agent. And then InsightConnect can automatically trigger a workflow to maybe isolate that machine and create a high priority patch ticket in ServiceNow. That integrated automated workflow, that's modern, effective security operations, it stops that frantic swivel chair investigation, jumping between five different consoles trying to piece things together.
That sounds like it would also directly address that endemic problem of tool sprawl and integration headaches federal IT is famous for that, right? Mm-hmm. I heard a story, maybe it's an urban legend, about a federal SOC team tracking critical vulns on a spreadsheet because their tools wouldn't talk to each other. Is that the kind of pain this helps solve?
Sadly, that's probably not far from the truth for many agencies, even today. That swivel chair integration, just jumping between tools to track one incident, it's incredibly inefficient, demoralizing for the analysts. The Rapid7 Insight platform really aims to eliminate that digital drudgery. Federal IT often is burdened with dozens of disconnected legacy security tools, each with its own agent slowing down endpoints, its own console to learn, its own data set siloed off. This tool sprawl just increases complexity, creates security gaps, drives up the total cost of ownership. So Rapid7 offers this consolidated platform, one lightweight agent, one unified user interface, comprehensive visibility from a central command center. It simplifies management, reduces that endpoint burden, and eliminates the integration nightmares agencies face trying to stitch together disparate point solutions.
And in an environment of always constrained budgets, maximizing every dollar is crucial. What's the value proposition there for, say, a CIO?
Indeed. By consolidating essential security capabilities, we're talking vulnerability management, SIEM, EDR, SOAR for automation, CNAPT for cloud, onto a single platform, agencies can achieve significant cost savings. They can maximize the value of their limited budgets. This is a powerful message for federal CIOs and procurement officers who are constantly under pressure to do more with less. A platform approach reduces licensing costs, it lowers training overhead, cuts down maintenance burdens, and it provides a much more predictable and manageable financial model compared to buying and sustaining a whole portfolio of separate products. It's about driving efficiency, not just security effectiveness.
And finally, to address that acute cybersecurity skill shortage we keep coming back to, Rapid7 also offers help through managed services, specifically MDR, Managed Detection and Response. How does that fit the federal agency need?
This is a direct answer to one of the biggest challenges highlighted in the report. Rapid7's Managed Detection and Response, MDR, service acts as a direct extension of an agency's own internal SOC. It provides 247 threat monitoring, expert threat hunting, and incident response support, all delivered by Rapid7's global team of security pros. By leveraging Rapid7's expertise and the power of the Insight platform they already have, agencies can achieve a world-class defense posture without the immense cost and, frankly, the difficulty of building and retaining such a highly specialized team internally. It allows them to scale their security operations effectively, basically bringing in a ready-made expert team to fill those critical gaps.
Okay, let's dive into exactly how Rapid7's specific capabilities map directly to these critical federal mandates.
But
we need to showcase how the platform offers that unified answer to these pressing directives. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? Where the solution really connects to the problem.
Exactly. This is where you see the strategic alignment in action. The true power of the InsightGov Cloud platform lies in how precisely it aligns with the specific requirements of EO 140A28 and OMB M2131, providing concrete, actionable solutions.
Let's start with InsightIDR, their SIEM and XDR solution.
Yeah.
For M2131 logging and that EDR mandate, what's the real magic it offers these agencies who are often overwhelmed? Because collecting logs sounds simple, but we know in government it's often a nightmare.
It absolutely is. And the magic isn't just collecting the logs. It's how InsightIDR brings together all those disparate logs from servers, network gear, user logins, cloud activity, you name it, and then uses AI and behavioral analytics to actually make sense of it all. Imagine trying to find that needle in a haystack, but the haystack is also on fire and generating more hay every second. InsightIDR gives you the tools, the heat sensors to find that needle much faster. As a cloud-native SIEM and XDR solution, it directly tackles the most pressing federal mandates. Its ability to collect, aggregate, analyze data from logs, network traffic, endpoints that provides the comprehensive visibility M2131 demands, the platform's intuitive log search, its auto-parsing features, the visual investigation timeline. These empower agency analysts to meet those data access and investigative support requirements in the memo. It helps them actually achieve M2131, EL1, and EL2 compliance and streamline giving CISA and the FBI access when needed. Furthermore, that Universal Insight Agent provides robust EDR capabilities, endpoint telemetry, behavioral analytics, exactly what EO 140-28 called for to enable government-wide threat hunting. And this is especially crucial when you consider the report noted 43% of exploited CVEs in 2024 were 0 days, That just highlights the urgent need for advanced detection that goes way beyond old-school signatures. So those M2131 logging requirements, they create an immediate acute pain point, and Inside IDR is a direct solution. That makes it a really powerful sales entry point because it deploys that foundational platform infrastructure via the Insight agent right away.
Gotcha. Okay. Then there's Insight VM, the vulnerability risk management solution. That's crucial for continuous monitoring, prioritization. How does it move beyond just giving agencies a giant, overwhelming list of vulnerabilities to something genuinely actionable?
That's a critical distinction. FISMA, the Federal Information Security Modernization Act, has mandated continuous monitoring, CONIN, for ages. And recent CISA directives, like BOD 23301, require agencies to fix known exploited vulnerabilities on really aggressive timelines. Rapid7 Insight VM moves beyond traditional vulnerability scanning to provide a modern risk-based approach. It gives complete continuous attack surface visibility using both agent-based and agentless scanning. But crucially, Insight VM uses AI. It uses real-world threat intelligence from Rapid7 Labs and an understanding of attacker behavior to calculate a threat-aware active risk score. This lets those resource-constrained federal security teams prioritize their patching efforts on the vulnerabilities that pose the most tangible risk to their mission, rather than just chasing every medium severity finding based on a generic CVSS score. So, for example, if an exploit for a vulnerability starts circulating in the wild, something CISA tracks in its known exploited vulnerabilities, or KV, Catalog Insight VM automatically raises its priority. That helps agencies fix those critical ones within the mandatory 2-week or 60-day window CISA requires. It measurably reduces risk and can generate those FISMA reports on demand, making audit prep way less painful.
And as agencies accelerate their secure cloud adoption, which EO14-ARIA28 pushes hard for, Insight CloudSec, their cloud-native application protection platform, CNAPPE, becomes vital. What specific problems does it solve for federal folks trying to navigate AWS GovCloud or Azure Government?
It basically solves the chaos, frankly. Managing security and compliance in dynamic cloud environments, especially when teams are spinning up resources across multiple clouds, is a huge headache. Insight CloudSec is a comprehensive CNAPP. It gives them a single unified solution for multi-cloud security. It delivers real-time, agentless visibility across providers like AWS and Azure. This lets agencies detect misconfigurations, excessive permissions, compliance drift as it happens, not weeks later in an audit. With built-in compliance packs tailored for federal standards and no-code automation, Insight CloudSec lets agencies enforce their organizational standards consistently and streamline fixing cloud risks. This makes sure their cloud transformation is both rapid and secure. It enforces policies, drives compliance in real time across all those cloud resources. It really enables that secure migration to GovCloud and Azure Government, helping prevent those costly, really embarrassing cloud data breaches we keep hearing about.
And with that big emphasis on software supply chain security from EO14028, Insight AppSec, their Dynamic Application Security Testing, or DAS, solution comes into play. Why is DAS specifically important for federal agencies now?
Well, to comply with these new software supply chain rules, agencies must have a way to assess the security of the applications they develop internally and the ones they buy. DAST, dynamic testing, is crucial because it looks at the application from the outside in, just like an attacker would while it's running. Insight AppSec provides powerful DAST capabilities delivered from the cloud. It performs black box security testing automatically, identifying and triaging vulnerabilities like the OWASP Top 10 in modern web apps and APIs. And features like Attack Replay let developers independently validate the findings and test their patches. This fosters much better collaboration between security and development teams, SecDevOps, and helps agencies ensure the software they deploy actually meets those new federal security standards. It's a critical check on what they're putting into production.
Now, to really multiply the force of those federal SOCs and tackle the skills gap, Insight Connect, their security orchestration, automation, and response SOR solution, is described as a game changer. How does it actually make those overworked federal analysts more effective?
It gives them back their most precious resource time and mental bandwidth. Insight Connect is the automation and orchestration engine that really ties the whole Insight platform together, and it's a direct answer to that federal cybersecurity skills gap. As a SAR solution, Insight Connect lets security teams build automated workflows that connect their entire tech stack, Rapid7 tools, third-party tools, ticketing systems, everything. These workflows can accelerate really time-intensive processes, things like automatically enriching alerts from Insight IDR with threat intel, creating remediation tickets in ServiceNow based on critical Insight VM findings, or maybe quarantining a potentially compromised endpoint with a single click, or even automatically. By automating these routine, often mundane tasks, Insight Connect frees up valuable analyst time. It drastically reduces incident response times, and it allows federal SOCs to simply accomplish more with their limited staff, supporting those automation-first strategies many are trying to implement. It essentially operationalizes their response playbooks, ensuring consistent, rapid action every single time.
And for agencies with more mature cyber programs, maybe dedicated red teams, Rapid7 is also known for Metasploit, offering closed-loop testing. What's the value of being able to safely think like an adversary in the federal space?
That's a really powerful capability. Metasploit Pro, the commercial version, isn't just a tool for red teams. It's part of Rapid7's closed-loop exploitability validation approach. What that means is agencies can integrate Metasploit into their vulnerability scans to safely simulate attacks and validate whether a detected vulnerability is truly exploitable in their specific environment. This is incredibly useful for prioritization. Say a scan finds 1,000 vulnerabilities. Metasploit can help test which ones could actually be leveraged by an attacker to gain control. This helps agencies focus patching efforts on what really matters most. Some civilian agencies, especially those with mature cyber programs or dedicated red teams, maybe like the IRS or NASA, will really appreciate this capability to bolster their cyber readiness exercises. It also aligns nicely with emerging DoD standards like CORA for continuous security validation. It encourages agencies to think like an adversary, but, you know, safely without actually inviting real attackers in.
And beyond these core components, the report mentions Rapid7 also offers additional capabilities that sort of round out the platform, providing an even more comprehensive picture.
Absolutely. Insight AppSec, for instance, is incredibly valuable for those citizen-facing web applications. Dynamically scanning for OWASP top 10 flaws and helping agencies meet specific OMB web security guidelines. Then there's Threat Command, which is Rapid7's threat intelligence and digital risk monitoring solution. It can monitor the dark web, adversary chatter, look for things like spoof domains targeting a particular agency. This could be particularly valuable for departments like Treasury or State, which are often targets for impersonation or sophisticated phishing campaigns. These additional capabilities really do round out Rapid7 as a kind of one-stop platform for exposure management and threat detection, giving agencies a much more holistic view of their overall risk posture.
Okay, here's where we get specific, drawing right from the report's prioritization matrix. Because, look, not all civilian agencies have the exact same needs or threats. So a focused, tailored approach from Rapid7 is absolutely key. We're going to highlight who Rapid7 should prioritize and really dig into why their platform is such a good fit for each one.
Yeah, this strategic framework is crucial. It's all about matching Rapid7's comprehensive capabilities to the most acute mission pain points and the biggest strategic priorities within that vast federal landscape. It's about being surgical, really, focusing where the need is greatest and the alignment between the problem and the solution is strongest.
Let's kick off with a Tier 1 agency deep dive.
Yeah.
The Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. Their mission, I mean, it impacts every single American.
Yeah.
Hugely critical.
Oh, absolutely. HHS has one of the most critical, most sensitive missions in the entire federal government, enhancing the health and well-being of all Americans. This involves managing and protecting just vast quantities of incredibly sensitive data, PII, personally identifiable information, and PHI, protected health information. And the healthcare sector as a whole is a prime target for ransomware gangs for nation-state actors because of the critical nature of its operations and the sheer value of that data. For HHS and its various components, a cybersecurity incident isn't just a data breach. It can directly impact patient safety, disrupt the delivery of life-saving care, and completely erode public trust in government health services.
So for HHS, protecting all that patient data, all that PHI and PII, it isn't just a compliance checkbox. It's literally about patient trust and, frankly, life-saving care. If their systems go down, it's not just an IT problem. It's a potential public health crisis.
Precisely. The stakes just couldn't be higher. The report we reviewed highlights how ransomware hitting a hospital can literally delay surgeries or critical treatments. People's lives are on the line. That's why solutions like Insight ADR for rapid detection and response to threats like ransomware are so vital for HHS. Their strategic priorities really reflect this high-stakes environment. The HHS Cyber Strategic Plan details key goals: establishing voluntary cybersecurity performance goals, CPGs, for the whole healthcare sector, providing resources to help high-need providers improve their security, updating the HIPO security rule with new cyber requirements, increasing penalties for violations. HHS is also maturing a one-stop shop for cyber support within ASPR, the Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response. For Rapid7, the key leadership and components to engage are the OCIO, Office of the Chief Information Officer, The OCISO, Office of the CISO, currently led by Acting CISO Chris Service and especially the large operating divisions, or OPDIVs. Think Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, managing massive healthcare programs and data. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, securing sensitive IP and critical manufacturing systems. The National Institutes of Health, NIH, protecting invaluable biomedical research. These are all prime targets, both for attackers and for a Rapid7 engagement.
So given those really critical needs at HHS, what's the specific Rapid7 opportunity and the messaging that resonates?
The report recommends leading with Insight IDR. Focus on M2131 compliance, yes, but also on critical ransomware detection across those OPDIVs, directly addressing the protection of PHI. Then position Insight VM for vulnerability management across HHS's incredibly diverse enterprise standard IT, yes, but also specialized clinical systems, research equipment. Emphasize that unified risk scoring across both their on-prem stuff and their growing GovCloud footprint. The messaging needs to be powerful, focusing on secure patient data and ensure mission continuity. Highlight how Rapid7, especially with HU-3147 MDR, halts ransomware attacks, ensuring continuity of services. And crucially, emphasize how automation via Insight Connect can help compensate for those persistent IT security staff shortages they face.
Okay, our second tier one agency deep dive.
Yeah.
The Department of the Treasury. This department is right at the heart of our nation's financial stability, making it an absolutely undeniable target for adversaries.
It absolutely is. Treasury's core mission is maintaining a strong economy, promoting economic growth. This puts the department and its bureaus like the IRS right at the center of the global financial system. That makes them a primary target for sophisticated nation-state actors looking for economic disruption, maybe espionage, gathering intelligence. Their cyber focus is heavily weighted towards protecting the nation's critical financial infrastructure, reducing systemic operational risks that could ripple out globally.
And their strategic priorities, like HHS, are explicitly tied to those federal mandates, underscoring the urgency they feel.
Indeed. Treasury's FY25 budget request for its cybersecurity enhancement account is directly guided by EO-14028 and M2131. Key investment areas include enhancing cloud security, modernizing their SOC, improving security logging across their vast network. The Office of Cybersecurity and Critical Infrastructure Protection, OCCIP, is a central coordinating hub there. They're also keenly focused on managing risks coming from cloud services, AI adoption, third-party providers, all big challenges. A recent GAO report even flagged 21 open recommendations for the Treasury CIO, including needing to fully implement federal cloud security requirements. So there's external pressure, too. Key leadership includes CIO Sam Korkos. And interestingly, with CISO Rick Therrien recently retiring, there's a unique opportunity right now to engage with new leadership at a critical time. Important components include OCCIP, obviously, and the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. The IRS has a massive IT footprint, huge security needs, and it's undergoing significant modernization efforts right now.
So for Treasury, with that focus on financial infrastructure and cloud, what's the specific Rapid7 opportunity and the tailored messaging?
Given Treasury's explicit focus on securing its cloud adoption and protecting that critical financial data, the report suggests the lead offering should probably be Insight CloudSec, focus on managing risk and compliance in their complex multi-cloud financial environments. Then the broader Insight platform should be positioned as the comprehensive solution for managing operational risk across their entire hybrid enterprise, unified visibility, automated compliance, orchestrated response actions. Messaging should emphasize how Rapid7 can protect the nation's financial system from advanced threats, and specifically how it helps address those GAO recommendations and supports their modernization goals. Leveraging Rapid7's track record in financial sector security and its granular controls would be key here.
Now, beyond these top-tier agencies, HHS and Treasury, the report identifies many other high-priority agencies, components, departments, programs where Rapid7 could deliver significant value. It really underscores the sheer breadth of the federal cybersecurity challenge.
It certainly does. Take the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, for example. They have that unique dual role, setting cybersecurity policy for the nation through CISA, but also securing their own operational components like TSA, FEMA, USCIS. Plus, they run the Government-Wide Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, or CDM, program. DHS needs strong APT detection, better ways to protect critical infrastructure, and help managing large legacy systems alongside cloud. Rapid7 could enhance vulnerability management and analytics for CISA itself. And for components like TSA or USCIS, it can help protect critical transportation or immigration systems. That unified risk visibility across legacy and cloud is key for them. Positioning Rapid7 as a partner to help secure the .gov by breaking down silos would resonate.
What about the Department of Energy, DOE? They deal with incredibly sensitive research and that critical OT infrastructure.
Right. DOE handles highly sensitive data, nuclear security, energy R&D, and operates extensive operational technology, OT, networks. That makes them a target for nation states after intellectual property or looking to sabotage critical infrastructure. A big need for them is unifying IT and OT visibility, which is a significant challenge. Rapid7's OT-aware security features, using InsightVM for traditional IT devices, InsightIDR to ingest logs from SCADA or ICS systems, and InsightCloudSec for their cutting-edge cloud and container work can really help. Plus, it assists with things like NRC CIP compliance, which is critical for power grid security.
And the Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, serving millions of veterans, it's one of the largest, most complex healthcare systems imaginable.
The VA operates this massive healthcare system serving millions of veterans. The attack surface is enormous. Endpoints, medical devices, legacy applications, growing cloud services. They've historically struggled with a high number of critical vulnerabilities, creating a real risk to patient care and trust. Rapid7 can deliver clear value by helping them identify and remediate vulnerabilities faster across that hybrid environment, providing those continuous monitoring dashboards they need, and importantly, maximizing their limited budgets with a consolidated platform that reduces tool sprawl. Targeting their Office of Information Security and the OINT managers would be the focus.
The Department of State, with its global operations, must face distinct, often geopolitical, cyber challenges.
Indeed. State handles sensitive diplomatic communications and operates globally through embassies and consulates. They are constantly targeted by foreign intelligence services. They need robust detection for sophisticated intrusions, rapid response capabilities, and help implementing zero trust across a truly worldwide network. Rapid7's InsightIDR is well-suited for detecting advanced threats like pass the hash or insider threats. InsightAppSec can help secure their public-facing web platforms. And having a FedRAMP-cleared cloud-based platform means it can be accessed securely from anywhere globally, enabling crucial collaboration across diverse geographic locations.
What about other key sectors like justice, transportation, commerce, and agriculture? How do they fit into this picture?
They all have critical needs Rapid7 can address. For the Department of Justice, DOJ, the platform helps meet stringent CJIS compliance requirements for protecting sensitive law enforcement and judicial information. The Department of Transportation, DRT, needs both IT and OT security capabilities to protect things like air traffic control systems and increasingly connected highway infrastructure technology. The Department of Commerce requires robust cloud and container security, likely via InsightCloudSec, for critical scientific and weather systems managed by NIST and OADA, which are designated as critical infrastructure. And the Department of Agriculture, USDA, with its incredibly broad enterprise research labs, citizen services like SNRP Food Assistance, all increasingly moving to the cloud, would significantly benefit from InsightCloudSec to secure that growing cloud footprint.
It really sounds like there are common threads, though, overarching themes that Rapid7 could address across almost all these diverse agencies.
There absolutely are, and the report makes this clear. All civilian agencies participate in the Federal CISO Council. They all report metrics via OMB's CyberScope tool. Rapid7's ability to unify data and clearly show improvements in risk posture can directly help agencies' CISOs demonstrate progress against these government-wide initiatives and mandates. Its threat intelligence capabilities, when combined with efforts like CISA's Joint Cyber Defense Collaborative, JCDC, also foster that critical threat information sharing, which ultimately makes the entire federal ecosystem more resilient together. Now, if we connect all this back to the bigger picture, it's not just about which agency you target, right? It's also about who within that agency you're actually speaking to. This raises that important question. How do you tailor the message so it really resonates with their specific pain points, their responsibilities, their daily headaches?
That's such a crucial point. It's about understanding their world, what keeps them up at night. Let's look at the key personas the report identifies, starting right at the top with the Chief Information Security Officer, the CISO. They're carrying an enormous weight.
Oh, absolutely. Federal CISOs are under immense pressure. They have to demonstrate compliance with this wave of new mandates, often with constrained budgets, always dealing with that severe shortage of skilled personnel. They're the ones responsible for reporting risk up the chain, often to non-technical leadership, and ultimately they're accountable for the agency's entire security posture. So for them, the Rapid7 value proposition is about a unified platform providing a single authoritative source for demonstrating compliance, M2131, FISMA, CISABODs, the works, those executive level risk dashboards from InsightVMKey. The platform's ability to reduce the total cost of ownership, TCO, by consolidating tools, also key. And for CSOs struggling with the talent gap, being able to attach Rapid7's MDR service to augment their team is a powerful direct solution. It helps them simplify and strengthen cybersecurity across the most sensitive and complex environments. It's really about giving them control, visibility, and maybe a bit more peace of mind.
Okay, then there's the Chief Information Officer, the CIO. Their focus is often broader mission enablement, keeping the technological gears turning smoothly for the entire agency, managing the budget.
Exactly. The federal CIO's primary focus is enabling the agency's mission through technology. They're driving digital transformation, managing the IT budget effectively, trying to reduce technical debt, and that tool sprawl that hinders agility. For them, security is critical, yes, but it has to be efficient. It can't impede the mission. So for a CIO, the key message is that InsightGov Cloud, being FedRAMP authorized, accelerates the agency's secure adoption of the cloud, a core goal of AO1408. The platform's ability to consolidate multiple security functions into one offering directly addresses the CIO's goal of reducing complexity and saving money. And the automation provided by Insight Connect improves the overall operational efficiency of both IT and security teams. It helps reduce wasted effort between teams by collaborating within a single integrated view. It's about optimizing their entire tech operation.
Now, down in the trenches, you have the Information System Security Officer, the ISO, or the Security Manager. Their battle feels more tactical, more day-to-day.
That's right. The ISO is often a tactical leader, frequently overwhelmed by the sheer volume of vulnerabilities, the complexity of managing multiple security tools, the constant demand for compliance reports, and that daily challenge of coordinating remediation efforts with the IT operations teams, who have their own priorities. For them, the message should focus on operational relief, making their job easier. InsightVM's risk-prioritized remediation plans, its deep integrations with IT ticketing systems like ServiceNow or Jira, that's a direct solution to one of their biggest workflow headaches. Insight Connect offers the ability to automate those repetitive tasks that just eat up their team's time. And having a single platform interface means they can manage risk across all their assigned assets from one place, simplifying their daily work significantly. It's about making their job more manageable and more effective.
And right at the front lines, you have the Security Operations Center SOC analyst and the threat hunter. They face their own unique pain points, often feeling like they're drowning in alerts.
Oh, definitely. Frontline SOC analysts are often...
With the rapid pace of cloud adoption and DevOps practices, cloud architects and DevSecOps leads also have specific concerns. They want security, sure, but they don't want it to be a bottleneck stopping innovation.
Absolutely. These personas care deeply about embedding security seamlessly into agile development and cloud operations. Ensuring continuous cloud security without hindering innovation is their mantra. For them, you need to showcase Rapid7's cloud-native approach, its APIs, its infrastructure as code scanning capabilities, its container security features.
Mm-hmm.
Insight CloudSec, in particular, provides that real-time detection of misconfigurations in cloud and Kubernetes environments, letting them enforce policies without impeding development speed. It aligns with their agile, automated way of working and supports modern environments like AWS, Azure, and Kubernetes. It's security that speaks their language, integrates into their pipelines.
And finally, maybe a group people don't always think about. The agency program managers and mission owners, they might not be security experts, but they understand the mission impact profoundly. They care deeply if the program they're responsible for is at risk.
This is a critical audience, yeah, and the report really emphasizes their influence. While they aren't security experts, they absolutely understand the mission impact of security incidents, system outages, data leaks, things that can completely derail their program's goals and timelines. By communicating how adopting Rapid7 can secure and accelerate the program's delivery, meaning less downtime, maybe faster authority to operate, ATO for new systems, better protection of citizen data, these stakeholders can become powerful internal allies. They can become champions who push for funding the solution because they see how it directly de-risks their mission delivery. When multiple program owners get behind a security investment because it protects their core mandate, agency leadership tends to listen.
Okay, so now that we've covered the landscape, the platform, the people,
yeah,
let's talk about actionable recommendations for market leadership. How can Rapid7 really drive adoption within these federal civilian agencies and become, well, a dominant player in this space?
Right. The analysis of the federal cyber landscape, the specific capabilities of the Insight GovCloud platform, and the needs of those priority agencies really leads to a clear set of strategic and tactical recommendations. Executing these well should position Rapid7 for sustained growth and leadership in this really high-stakes federal market.
What are the prioritized go-to-market motions the report suggests Rapid7 should focus on?
The federal sales team should really adopt a set of prioritized, repeatable sales motions. First, as we discussed, lead with M2131 compliance. It's the most effective entry point right now. Position Insight IDR as the easy button for achieving EL1 compliance. That logging mandate is urgent. It's a significant pain point for agencies with legacy SIEMs. This establishes that initial platform footprint and gets the Universal Insight Agent deployed. Second, drive vulnerability management modernization. Target agencies clearly struggling with older, maybe signature-based vulnerability scanners. Position Insight VM as the modern risk-based solution directly aligned with CISA's KV catalog and Bodia's. Show how Insight VM's active risk scoring helps agencies meet CISA's deadlines and focus limited resources on the truly critical threats. Third, always sell the unified platform vision. In every single customer conversation, pivot to the broader value of the integrated Insight platform. Hammer home how the unified data model, the shared agent, the cross-product automation solve those core federal challenges. Tool sprawl, budget limitations, the skills gap. This elevates the discussion from just a product sale to a strategic platform investment. And fourth, attach managed services,
yes.
MDR. Proactively qualify every single opportunity for a Rapid7 MDR attach. That federal cybersecurity skill shortage isn't going away. For agencies with staffing gaps, MDR isn't just nice to have. It's a core part of the solution. It maximizes their investment in the platform and delivers an immediate, significant uplift in their defense posture.
And leveraging the channel ecosystem, that's always critical in federal procurement, right? It's such a complex network of resellers and integrators.
Oh, it's not optional. It's absolutely essential for success in the federal space. First, deepen strategic alignment with Carahsoft. Carahsoft is the master government aggregator. They hold the key contract vehicles. They have deep relationships across nearly all federal agencies. Rapid7 needs a joint federal business plan with Carahsoft focused on targeted lead generation, co-sponsoring government forums, proactively educating Carahsoft's own sales teams with that tailored, mandate-driven messaging. Second, enable key resellers and systems integrators. SIs, work closely with those large government resellers like CDW and also the SIs who have existing professional services contracts and that trusted advisor status within target agencies. Enable these partners to position the Rapid7 platform as the technology foundation for their service offerings, maybe SOC as a service, zero trust implementation services, cloud migration security services, providing them with dedicated technical training, co-selling support that will embed Rapid7 into larger, more strategic agency initiatives.
And finally, to really cut through all the noise in the market, that strategic messaging and competitive positioning are vital. How does Rapid7 convey its unique value proposition most effectively?
That's where the branding and the core message come in, and it has to be clear, consistent, and directly tied to government priorities. First, the mandate-ready platform. This should be the core positioning statement. It communicates that Rapid7 is purpose-built for the federal market, that it's the fastest, most effective way for agencies to meet those critical EO-12028 and M2131 requirements. Second, from compliance to mission resilience. This theme elevates the conversation beyond just checking boxes. It positions Rapid7 as a strategic partner, helping agencies mature their security programs, moving from being reactive and compliance-focused to becoming proactively cyber resilient, ensuring their mission can execute without disruption. And third, a force multiplier for federal SOCs. This message directly addresses that critical pain point, the cybersecurity skills gap. It highlights how the platform's intelligent automation through Insight Connect, its AI-driven analytics, the expert-curated threat intelligence from Rapid7 Labs, and the MDR services, how all this amplifies the effectiveness of the existing government security teams. It positions Rapid7 not as replacing federal workers, but as an essential tool that makes them more efficient, more effective, and ultimately better able to defend the nation's critical assets.
So pulling this all together, what have we really learned from this deep dive into why U.S. federal civilian agencies need to adopt Rapid7 to secure and accelerate speed to mission? It seems pretty clear that these agencies face that perfect storm, escalating threats, talent shortages, hybrid complexity, but also, maybe paradoxically, a unique mandate-driven opportunity for profound transformation.
Exactly. Rapid7's Insight GovCloud platform seems directly engineered to address their dual mandate. Yes, strengthening cybersecurity, but also enabling mission acceleration. That FedRAMP authorization at the moderate impact level provides the foundational trust, giving agencies confidence, speeding up deployment significantly. And its integrated capabilities from Insight IDR for M2131 logging and EDR to Insight VM for risk-based vulnerability management, Insight CloudSec for securing the cloud journey, and Insight Connect for critical automation, they offer a comprehensive, genuinely unified approach to securing these incredibly diverse and complex federal environments. It really does map clearly to key mandates like CEM, Zero Trust Principles, CISA's binding operational directives, and it offers tangible benefits agencies desperately need. Measurably reduced risk, faster incident response times, and less precious time wasted on audits, freeing up those critical overworked resources.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, our listener, with this final thought to chew on. In a world where sophisticated nation-state adversaries are constantly pushing the boundaries, constantly innovating their attacks, is simply meeting compliance requirements really enough anymore? Or must federal agencies continually strive to exceed compliance? To transform their security posture from just a necessary obligation into an undeniable strategic advantage, an advantage that truly accelerates mission success and ultimately better serves the citizens they protect. It's a profound potential shift in mindset, isn't it? Moving from pure defense to strategic mission enablement through security. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you're leaving feeling incredibly well-informed and perhaps with a new, maybe even more critical perspective on the vital role advanced cybersecurity plays within our federal government. Until next time, stay curious.